Genesis chapter number 37. If you will stand this morning. I feel like we ought to go all the way down to verse number 28. We understand there's a young man named Joseph in this chapter who has been placed in a pit by his brethren. Verse number 28. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This we have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. That's Genesis chapter number 37, verses 28 through 36, if correctly read. Lord, we pray you would help us today to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, today I believe that there are folks today that need to hear, Lord, what you have to say to our hearts. And God, I pray that you would open our ears, allow us to hear, and I pray, God, you would speak not just through our ears, but to our heart, to our soul. Help us today, Jesus. We ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Last Sunday morning, we preached about Daniel in the lion's den, and about serving God when it hurts. This morning we feel led to preach on this thought again. Serving God even when it hurts. Certainly Joseph's been hurt, been placed in a pit by his brethren. And there is certainly a lot of preaching about things that are wrong, but there's not much preaching about what to do when things have gone wrong. And today I feel led that we need to think on this thought, getting over our hurt. Getting over our hurt. Serving God when it hurts, and how are we going to get over it? Now, being hurt hurts. And you don't always get over it easily, nor do you always get over it quickly. Many times healing is a process. But you hear what I'm going to tell somebody today in this building. You need and you must get over it. Because if you still dwell with a hurt, you're no longer living in the present, but you're living in the past. What hurts you in the past, you still live in the past, and it causes you to miss the present, and it'll mess up the future. Now, God told me to come in here and tell you this morning. There's some folks in this building, you've got a wounded soul, an injured heart. Being hurt, I talked to some folks this week. Not in church. Been hurt. Being hurt will keep the saints out of the house of God. Being hurt will keep sinners out of heaven. I've actually seen sinners talk to them before. Said, "You don't come to church." "Well, no, I got hurt. Something hurt me." And I will say something to you. You don't have to just be in church or to be in the workplace or to be in a family to be hurt. But you might get hurt by your family members. You might have got hurt by your spouse. She betrayed you, sir. She let you down.
Ma'am, He broke your heart. He crushed and wounded your spirit. I know you feel like you're never, ever going to get over it, but I promise you somehow, some way, you're going to have to go on. You can't keep living back there in the past. It may be your children have hurt you. They've disappointed you. Your greatest expectations, they've let you down on. They went off into sin after you've raised them in the house of God. You're hurt. Keep praying for them. I want to say maybe it's your parents have hurt you, said things about you, favored one child over another, and you're hurt. Your friend hurt you. God help, you know how it crushed you. You've trusted, you told them everything. You completely trusted them. They used it to backstab you and to hurt you with. Maybe they, some of you in this place, you've been hurt by your own self, by your own apostasies, and by your own problems. You've hurt yourself. And some of you actually are here today and you feel like you're a little bit hurt at God. Yes, I said it right. You're a little bit hurt at God. You know you shouldn't be, but you're real disappointed with some decisions He's made in your life. And you didn't have a choice in the matter. Let me say, sometimes you just have to live with the will of God. I see two different types of attitudes in these verses about hurts. I want to say, first of all, we see Jacob, the father, don't we? The Bible says in verse number 35 that he refused to be comforted. For he said, I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. Might be said that Jacob clung to his hurt. He clung to his hurt. Might I mention to you that according to verse 31, look with me, his brothers, we know, sold him. They took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they brought that back to their daddy and said, this is what we found. And Jacob was hurt. Let me tell you what he was hurt about. He was hurt about something that was never true to start with. His boy wasn't even dead. And he's hurt about it. Like some of you in this building, your hurt is a product of your own thinking. Some of the things that you think have happened have never even been discussed. They've never even happened. It's a product of your imagination, yet you believe it. Let me say something to you, church. Things are not always what you think they are. And things are not always what they look like they are. Oh, well, bless God, who are you to say? I saw Joseph's coat with my own eyes. And there was blood on his coat. I saw it. You didn't, preacher. So I have a right to be hurt. Just what you see may not always be what's true. He saw a coat. He saw blood on the coat, but the boy was still alive. His sons had simply betrayed his own brother. So let me say this morning, don't you be hurt by your own ideas. Some of you try to think too much. You try to interpret everybody's words and everybody's actions, and you go home and say, well, what he meant by that message was, oh no, don't do that. It will cause you to get in trouble. So his own hurt came because of his own thoughts and his own imaginations. The next thing I think about his hurt is, his hurt certainly, like I said before, caused him to live in the past. Look at verse 35. The Bible says, and all his sons and his daughters rose up to comfort him. What about that? Jacob said, don't bother me. I have been hurt. And I'm going to my grave with my hurt. I'm going to weep in it. I believe most Baptists that I preach to are really Jacobites, wallowing in their hurt. When something happens, all they want to do is wallow in their hurt. Now, I'm not making light of being hurt, but I'm going to tell you something, friends, this morning. Jacob has 11 other boys. One of them is gone. He has 11 other boys. He has one daughter. Her name is Dinah. He has many daughters-in-law. He has many grandchildren. I mean, there's at least 70 or so that are in his family. And the Bible says that all of them, his sons and his daughters, rose up to
to come and try to comfort him, to try to help him, to try to minister to him. But when they came, he said, I'm hurt and I'm not going to get over it. What he did was, he refused to recognize his own children that were present. Because he was still living in the past with Joseph, he missed the blessings of today with his family. You realize that's what the devil wants to do with your hurt? Oh, I know you've been hurt. I know you have. I mean, death has come, sickness has come, somebody said something, hurt your feelings. I mean, I know you're upset. But the devil's got you wallowing in that thing so much, you miss your present blessing. Your family who tried to encourage you. Your friends who try to pray for you and encourage you. You miss the blessings of this life. Life is too short to constantly wallow in our hurts. Amen? But when they came to comfort him, he refused them. What about that? He refused to be comforted. The next thing I think about is his hurt caused him to miss God. Now his family gets in hunger, don't they? Joseph, his son, has been sold by the brothers. He's down there in Potiphar's house. He goes on to Pharaoh's house. He's governor of all the land. And back up there in Israel, Jacob and his family, with his hurt, gets in a famine. And he says to the boys, you're going to have to go to Egypt to buy bread. And so according to chapter number 42, verse number 36, go there. They go down there and they line up to buy bread. And when they get down there, the one they sold, Joseph, recognizes. And he says, I tell you what, you boys, this is fine. He said, we're not spies. There's 12 brothers, or 10 of us present. One of them is not. He's the governor of all the land. And one of them's back home. That's Benjamin with their daddy. And he said, you boys is a bunch of spies. He says, I tell you what, I'm going to keep one of you. See me. I'm going to grab you and tie you up. We won't need you to take you to your prison. The rest of you nine, you go back home, and if you're really not spies, you get your little brother Benjamin that you told me about, and you bring him down here to see me. Well, see, they didn't recognize their own brother Joseph. And so they go home, and they're weeping, and they're grieved, and they go home according to chapter 42, and in verse number 36, and they begin to go home and tell their daddy, Daddy, if we go back to get Simeon, we've got to take Benjamin with us. Watch what he says. And Jacob their father said unto them, me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. He's left back in Egypt. And you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. That's what he said. You see why he said that? Because he's hurt. He's still not got over being hurt. And he said, Joseph's gone. Simeon's in prison down there now in Egypt. And Benjamin you're going to take down there and I'm going to lose him too. And he says, all these things are against me. He meant God in that. You see, God is allowing all these things in his life as a way of salvation for that family. God has allowed all these things to work out that their family might have a way to be able to be blessed. But he said, all these things are against me. Hey, my Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's not God who's allowed these things in your life. God's allowed these hurts to come in your life. He's allowed them to come to get you to bring them to him. Come on, let's trust him. He's allowed them to grow you and mature you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But rather than you maturing it, rather than you growing out of it, you lay down and love it. And you said, God did this to me. And all these things are working against me. What's next in my life? How many of you have said, I just knew something bad was going to happen. What could be next? And when next happens, you said, I know it. God's against me. That's exactly the way a lot of you think. And Jacob's not living Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. All things, even the hurt, is working out for Jacob's good. But Jacob says, oh no, I don't believe that. I've been hurt. I hear what you're saying, preacher. I've been hurt. So he's missing God here. And he says down here in verse 37, Reuben spake to his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, what's his response? My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in which you go, then shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Jacob's hurt has caused him now to stop living by faith. No longer is he willing to step out by faith. He says, I've just been hurt, and I'm not going to step out by faith and let Benjamin go. I'm not going to re-engage in activity. I'm just going to lay down here and quit. That's what he's saying. Many of you have been hurt in some form or fashion, in some capacity. That's exactly why you say, I will never sing in the choir again. You've been hurt. I will never be Sunday school again. Because you've been hurt. I will never be active and assume a position in a church because I've been hurt somewhere else. In fact, I'm not even going to go back to church because I've been hurt. And I know if I start going to church somewhere else, I'm going to get hurt again. Boy, I should have walked in my faith again. Woo! Boy, you know I got this one. Amen. My whole church is giving to me. I call your name. Amen. You stop living by faith. You talked about living by faith, but somewhere or another you got hurt, and God allowed it to happen to increase your faith, and instead you just sit on the sideline and you quit. You don't come to church on Wednesday night no more. You don't come on Sunday night no more. Every now and then you'll grace us with your presence on Sunday morning, and the problem is, I've been hurt. And I do well to be hurt. And I don't care if the whole blessed church ever friends and everybody that ever hurt you come and say, I'm sorry, you can still say, well, I've been hurt. Well, glory, hallelujah. Let us all give you an award for being hurt. I wonder if this morning in this church, I just want you to look around and you just think, hey, any of you have ever been hurt? Some of you lie, and you lie like a dog. And what do we need to? We're going to do this again, and the ones of you that don't raise your hand, I know that you're hurting it. You're hurting the message. Preacher, at some point or another, I've been hurt, I'm hurting now, I'm going to hurt later. Hey, I'm a whole lot better.
Oh,
Jacob's been hurt. And if we're not careful, we will milk it for everything it's worth. Preacher, that's not a fair statement to make. I believe Jacob's clinging to this thing. And let me tell you something. This thing didn't just happen in one day. Healing over being hurt is a process. You don't get over it easily. You don't get over it quickly. To prove it, when I even talk about being hurt, it's brought back up to you this morning, and you're still upset about it, and it happened a long time ago. Guess how long you've been in Jacob's life? How long has it been happening in Jacob's life? Anybody got it? 17 years. Jacob's been hurt for 17 years. That's a long time. That's longer than some of these young people are older. And they're still, and some of you have been hurt longer than that. And it's time God told me, he said, you go back and tell them to serve God even if they've been hurt, even when it does hurt. Just keep serving God. He's the only one that can heal it up for you. Well, let's turn to chapter number 45. We understand that Jacob's boy go back down there to Israel, go back down there to Egypt. They do find that Benjamin back down there. When he gets down there, he begins to reveal himself to them. And there's weeping and there's crying and there's love and forgiveness and compassion. And they're all being reunited. Here's all 12 of the brothers together down there in Egypt. And he says, how's my father? And they said, father's doing pretty good. He's about grieved himself to death, but he's doing pretty good. And look with me in chapter number 45 and verse number 23. Old Jacob down there in Egypt is going to send for his daddy. He says in verse 23, and to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. You see that? He's loaded up all the world has to try to encourage his dad. You realize what God's done for you? He has blessed you and blessed you in spite of you being hurt. He's trying to encourage you. God leaves his dear children alone. He says to the brothers and the brethren, don't you only fall out by the way. You make sure my dad gets this. And let me tell you something, church. Thanks to people that still come to mom and with it hurt. They're wounded, crushed, injured. They need you to help them along. Don't you fall out by the way. Don't you get discouraged and make them tend to be worse than all it is. You boys fall out by the way. And they came up out of the land of Egypt and came in the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. You see, Jacob's hurt caused him to miss rejoicing. 17 years. He's not here. Joseph's alive. He's the governor of all the land of Egypt. Now, if you told me my boy's been gone for 17 years was really alive, I'd run the back of these pews forward and backwards, leaping and jumping and having myself. If it had been told to you that your boy was made governor over all the land of Egypt, that he was governor of the state of North Carolina, that your boy, your girl, this God, listen, you know what you need. Your boy, your girl got that award. You lay out a work down there in school, got your camera, sit behind people you couldn't hardly see over their heads, looking around, and when they're crying out there, you jump up and get that picture, and go right down like this, then you do me. Yes, that job you need. I see you. You know, I'm too. That's right. And Lord God, above that, that your young has been made governor over all the land of Egypt. You've been showing everybody in the temple, look at these pictures. Oh, Lord God. Yes, he would. Don't look at me, buddy. You know he would. He found out he's going governor of all the land. And he's alive. You know what he did? He said, that's great. But I'm still hurt. If he's alive, then I missed out on 17 years of my life with my boy. His heart fainted, for he believed them not. You see, your hurts will cause you to have unbelief about how much God loves you and wants to help you. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them, and when he saw the wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Now understand, when he saw it, he didn't live by faith, he had faith. Some of you, same way. His spirit revived. I looked that word up, it means that he was lifted up from his present condition. Y'all look at this. If he was doing this, oh, it don't take much to revive in that place. You can sit just like this and be revived. Or you can sit just like you're sitting right now.
This is interesting from my wife.
And Israel, that's Jacob, he said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Boy, he didn't have you, wasn't he? You know, no cartwheels, no donuts, no getting down. So, no, you know what y'all do? Oh, God, bless you, Lord. You've healed my heart, Lord. Thank you, God. That's not what he did.
I'll go see him before I die.
I'm hurt. I've been hurt. Chapter 46. I ain't going to get done with this message today. I can tell you that right now. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and he offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation, and I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Do you see that? God spoke to him and said, Your boy's alive, this is going to be all right. I still don't see him getting upset. Oh, thank you, Lord, bless you, Holy Ghost. Still, this is like God spoke to him, and he's just continued right on. Isn't it interesting here in these verses, Jacob's still not over it? God has spoke to you about it. He's tried to help you and spoke to you by the Holy Spirit of God, and you still can't get over it. Verse number 29. Watch here. When he gets down there, Joseph made ready his chariot. That's the governor of Egypt. The governor of Egypt's come. And went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. What about that? He's been reunited with his boy. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. Where is the love? Where is the acceptance? Huh? This is his day that he has seen for the first time in 17 years, and Joseph is weeping and crying. Hey, can I just go ahead and look at the next minute? I'm going to have to bring up this. Do you realize what Joseph's been through? He was called by his brothers. He's been down there at the Potiphar's house a little while on him. He served in the prison there for a while. They forgot about him. Now he's the governor of all, Pharaoh of all the land of Egypt. You know what? If anybody's ever been hurt, it's Joseph. I mean, he was betrayed by your brother. I heard his reputation ruined. I'll tell you what, Joseph was hurt more than anybody's ever been hurt in the last 10 years. He's hurt. But when he sees his dad, that's what he does. He just gets scared when he goes to the bank. And he went running to him. And he fell his neck and he went, You know what? Here it is. Joseph wasn't clinging to his hurt. Joseph said, I'm tired of being hurt. I'm going to let go. I'm going to live my life with hurts and disasters. I mean, I've had every opportunity to quit, but I ain't going to do it. My daddy's here, and we're going to have fellowship. I'm going to rejoice and see my daddy. Woo! That's what Joseph said. He's having himself a time.
His daddy said, Well, great, Joseph. Good to see you. Now I'm ready to die.
You know why he felt that way? I'm hurt. I've been hurt. I'm disappointed. And he won't get over it. Chapter 47, verse 7. Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. I mean, he was brought before. Imagine what you would do if you was brought before some great dignitary, Michael Jordan or somebody.
I want you to play the NBA for it. No, it's great.
And the Bible says, what's this? The Bible says that Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Why ain't he blessed in the name of God? He blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou? Can I give you an English translation of that? Not country English. How old are you?
Jacob said,
How old am I? I'm 130 years old. Before you read the next verse, you read the hold on to your heart.
Bless you.
It was all you look older than you really are.
Yeah.
Right. How old are you?
I'll
look like you. Amen? How old are you?
I'm 130.
Look at his response. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years, few and evil. What did he say? Few and evil. Have the days of the years of my life been? And have not attained of the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. He said, I'm 130 years old and I've had a miserable life. Evil has been my days. Are you kidding me? God bless you with 12 nuggets. Your boys are coming from all the way to Egypt. How can you look how God has blessed you? You spurned him, gave him something to eat, sent you away out of the land, gave him a well prosperity. God has blessed you, Jacob. And you have an old ass and you say, my days are good evil. You know why he felt that way? I'm hurt about it. And I'm not going to get over it. I mean, you'd think at 130 you'd be pretty mature. When you're hurt, you never count God's blessings. He's not counted one. All you do is grumble and complain and wallow in self-pity. You never look back and see God has been good. You miss the provision, the protection of God. All you see is, I've been hurt. He's got Joseph back. He's got Simeon back. He's got Benjamin back. And is he praising God? No. My days have been evil. Verse 28. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. After he was 130, he lived 17 more years in Egypt. 140. And Jacob was 147 years. He never did get over being hurt. Now I can tell you, time and time again, God might have been so good hurt. His family might have been overhurt, get over hurt. His friends might have been overhurt. But he said, I don't want to. Let me tell you something. Are you looking? God will let you do just that. That's what you won't do. Live your life in misery. God will let you do just that. I preach this message today to you from the depths of my heart, God holy. You got people in the church that are hurt. And healing over hurt and dead promises. Man, I cannot get back what they said to you. I mean, I've been to the church one time, and I've had people tell me that I was special. Boy, well, you're a special preacher. And in the long run, after a number of weeks, they said, there ain't nobody that's like you. And they hate it like that. I had a special argument. Nobody was a terrible preacher as I was. I've had people call me names. I've had a man in my car in, and the burning. I had one time where I finished preaching, had all the people cut, and that's all their trash was back in my cup. Didn't teach the bag, either. Just now. I had three back up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't hurt. But you know what? I'm going to go like this. Miserable preacher, what I did. I've had many members die. I've had sickness. We've had my life got in this. We've got suffering. We've got pain. We've got misery. I mean, there were three I didn't preach to your Bible, baby. Paul said, I'm off all the things that happened in the church. That was the greatest thing. More worth than any shipwreck you ever had. And more than any robbery, he said, the church was the hardest thing they do. You understand me this morning. God told me to tell you, you're hurt. And I said, listen, I'm not trying to make this superficial. Your wounds are real. You wept. You cried. It's real. But man, can I say something? Respect for it. You cannot say that word. You don't know that. But if you're right, I do know that I have not given up to you. Can't keep living this way. You know, look back down to God's being. Pretty much what the same way I am. Promise you, by faith, say how good God has been. Thank you for his provision. Be willing to say, you want preacher? You said him as a prophet over my heart. I am willing today to start
And the healing process? No, I'm not ready. It's going to turn to business. It's going to take you out of church. It's going to take you away from reading the Bible, away from your prayer life, away from things that you should treasure. You say this to me, please. I've got a whole other page to preach. I don't want to preach on Jesus so bad this morning. I'm fully out of time. I'm back time to get over it. But I'm going to let me somebody here say, preacher, I'm not asking you to come and bow. I want you to do this. It's going to be a bit unusual. Everybody in this building had their hand raised that at one time or another I've been hurt. Preacher, you've hurt me. Sister hurt me. Brother hurt me. My mama hurt me. My daddy hurt me. You know, my friend hurt me. I don't know what your hurt is. I'm not asking you to tell me what your hurt is. God already knows. But He wants to ask you a question. Are you willing to let the Lord begin that healing process on you? If there'd be somebody in this building, I just want you to come stand in this altar with me. I've been hurt many times. I've been hurt again. I want you to come stand in this altar with the preacher. I hurt, that's where I am. And I want him, you turn around and look at the cross. Turn around and look at the cross. Come on. I'm telling these people in this building, there's 400 some people in this church, and I'm telling you what, the truth be known, not every one of you's got over it yet. You're hurting about something. Hurting about something. And don't you look up here and say, I wonder what he's hurt about. What could be his issue? You're hurt. Would you come today? Preacher, I want healing in my life. I need it so desperately. We're just going to ask God. We're willing to say, I'm a candidate for healing over the hurt that I've been through. Listen, your hurt may be over sickness. It may be over finances. It may be over what somebody said. Somebody's injured your soul. Listen, let me say this to you. Not everybody's still been obedient. Ma'am, you have cried yourself to death about this. Yeah. You know what else? You have fussed about it and complained about it and whined. Listen, you're so upset you've talked to people about it. It's time for you to talk to God. Would you come? Yes, sir. You too. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yep. Anybody else? Lord, today, as we stand in your honor, God, we ask today, Father, that you look upon us and have mercy. God, you see us where we stand in this altar saying, Lord, we want healing. We've had injured souls, injured feelings. And today, God, we know that we've got to go on, that we need to get over it. We've got to not cling to it anymore. Lord, we talk about it too much. We think about it too much. We lay awake at night worrying about it. We think about it during the day, God. It's almost got us on pills. We've been so upset about it. But today, God, we've come to you to say, Lord, we're not going to cling to it anymore. We're going to bring it to you, and we're going to cast it away. And we pray, God, that the healing process would begin. Lord, I don't want to go 34 years of my life hurt. I don't want to pout and complain and murmur and be frustrated with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, today I pray you put a new desire in my heart. Help me, Lord, to love. Help me, God, to overlook. Help me to forgive, even if they don't sound sorry. Help me just to say, you know what? It don't matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus, and that's why I'm here. God, they today have bowed this altar, and they've asked you, God, would you see their hurt? They cast it away today. Help them, Father, I pray, never to have it brought up again, Lord Jesus. Help that process. I know it can take some time, but God, here we stand as candidates. Help us, Lord, to get the healing that our soul needs. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now I realize that may be hard to say. I'm hurt, preacher. I'm hurting. But the only way you're going to get help is be willing to say, Lord, I need your help. And help is on the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can go back to your seats. Glory to God. Boy, I wish I had about another 30 minutes to preach. I'm tired, but I want to preach 30 more minutes so bad I can't stand it. I'll tell you about what happened to Joseph. Maybe the Lord will and the Lord will let me get into that another time.